Father, we are thankful to be together in the best way we can right now. And we pray for our minds and hearts right now, that all the things that are swirling around will kind of fade in the background as we hear your word taught and as we experience the fellowship of other believers, Lord, the great, we're brought together in your love and in the great hope of the resurrection. I mean, our future, all of us in Christ, we just really, really have good news. And then in the swirl of our lives, it's just easy to forget that, but a great reminder today in the sermon. And just as believers, that's what we are supposed to be doing in fellowship, as we see the day drawing near. Lord, that's what this fellowship does for us. And so we prayed it would do that today as we share with each other and as we hear your word taught. Lord, may we understand better about the mission that we are to do while we head towards our great resurrection in Christ. Thank you for Benny's willingness to do that with us. Thank you. And I pray that you'd teach through him today in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Again, it's great to be back with you, and wonderful time. Just our ninth lesson as we've looked at how we're designed by God. And we've been looking at different areas. We've taken that whole acronym of SHAPE, and we've been walking through that. And as we've walked through it, we've come to our fifth area, you know, today. And our lesson today is that God shapes our heart for him and for his glory. As believers, God shapes our heart for him and for his glory. God, by his grace and through his providential plan, he does intentionally give us our spiritual gifts at our salvation. And then he gives us abilities and talents, those skills that he gives us many before birth, and the aptitude to acquire those skills through our life. And then also he gives us our personality, our temperament. Even before we're born, he's placed that in us. And then our sovereign experiences that we looked at last week, that God uses all of these things to move our heart, to give us desires, to serve him and to serve others, just to give our time and energy and resources to certain things in our life. And that's what we're talking about today, is really our heart, our heart's passions. Now, we have to be careful as we talk through our heart's passions, because God doesn't want us to be controlled by our heart. He wants us to be controlled by his Holy Spirit. And but yet he does shape our heart and moves our heart. But we also know that we're in the world and in this fallen world, and there's other things that challenge us. For us really to look at our heart and God's shaping of our heart, the best thing we can do is to always let the Word of God, the Scriptures, instruct our heart, to teach our heart, to guide our heart. We need to always make sure that we go to the Word of God, and through prayer, asking the Spirit of God to help guide and direct us. In order to really remind us of some passages and to reflect on some passages today, we're going to look at some instructions from the Bible for our heart and pull out some principles. Actually, there's 12 of them. So I gave these to you in your outline that I emailed you, but we're going to walk through them and read them and read the Scriptures this morning, because we really do need the Holy Spirit of God, by the Word of God, to instruct our heart today and every day of our life. So the first principle is that God has given us an overarching primary passion for our life. And that primary passion as Christians, when the Spirit of God comes in us, is we have a desire to please him, a desire to glorify him, and to be a part of furthering his kingdom. That's a God-given desire that he placed in our heart. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. That's what God's given us a heart for. Psalm 73, 25 and 26 says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God has given us that overarching primary desire for him and him alone. And as our flesh, our weak bodies fail, or our heart even is dismayed or failing us, what we know is the Lord God Almighty, he's the strength of our heart, and he's our portion today, tomorrow, and for all eternity, forever and ever. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He does not want us to be dismayed. He's given us that overarching primary desire to glorify him and further his kingdom. The next instruction for our heart is God has given us a new heart that is alive in Christ and is to be transformed and governed by God's word and by the Holy Spirit. So we know that great passage in Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27 that we say amen to says this, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Praise the Lord. This is that salvation, the work of God by the Spirit. When we're saved, when we surrender our life to Christ and trust in him alone for our salvation, for the forgiveness of our sins, then at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes in and he gives us life when we were dead. And he takes that heart that we had, that heart of stone that was dead, and gives us a fresh, live heart in Christ, a new heart that desires to please God, to walk in his statutes and obey him and to follow him. And his spirit will guide us and direct us and make sure that we are pursuing him. He will convict us of our sin. And if we ever don't listen, he disciplines us in order to get us back to him, or he takes us home. So we know that, and praise the Lord, he's given us that new heart, and he continues to transform us. And then along with these two, we know as Christians, our primary passion of our heart, our primary love of our heart is to be for God alone. Nothing of this world, nothing else, but is to be for God alone. In Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38, Jesus said, you shall love, agape, completely love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And so our primary love is to be for the Lord. If we ever sense that we've fallen to idolatry, that means that if anything else has crept ahead of God as our first love, then we're in idolatry. We've broken that commandment. We're out of the Lord's will. We're in sin. If we ever find ourselves there, we need to turn our heart back to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and surrender back to him and trust in him. And we have to do that every day to keep our heart in check, which we'll talk about in a second. So God has, praise the Lord on this too, when the Holy Spirit came in, God has poured his love into our hearts to love him and to love people and to use what he has given us for others to serve them and to serve Christ. So he's poured his love in us. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So the very love of God, his love for us, He poured that into us that we might know it at salvation, to quicken our heart to be saved. He poured that into us. He poured that love into us that we might love him back with all our heart, and that we might love one another above ourselves. He's poured his love into us. And that's why that second commandment says, the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So we love God and we love people, and that he has poured his love into our hearts. Our next instruction for our heart is this from the Word of God. Our heart must be surrendered to God each and every day of our life. In fact, we have to live surrendered moment by moment every day. The mature Christian life is not one that doesn't battle with temptations or issues in our life. The mature Christian is the one who, as soon as we realize it, we repent of that and turn to God and surrender our life and thank him for our forgiveness. We ask forgiveness and thank him for it, and we continue to walk filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what a mature Christian, that's what we are desiring and what God's doing in us. So we live that surrendered life every day, and we must first, Matthew 6, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he adds all things to us, that all those things that we are concerned about, you know the passage, whether it's our dress or our food or those things around us, all our needs. God says, seek me first, my kingdom, my righteousness. Walk with me every moment of the day, and I will provide for you at the level that you need in order to walk with me. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's that surrendered heart. That's that plea of the psalmist, and what we call out to God in prayer and song ourselves is, let everything in me, all the meditations of my heart, what we would think are secret thoughts, nothing secret, because God is there. He understands and knows it all. Nothing secret, but that our meditations of our heart would be acceptable to him, because he is our rock and our redeemer. And then our next instruction is our hearts must be satisfied and content in God alone. The world screams out that we need so many things. Our flesh thinks that we need so many things. But God knows exactly what we need in exactly the right time for him and his glory and his kingdom. And we have to find our satisfaction and contentment in God alone and in nothing else. No feelings, no thoughts, no people, nothing. Psalm 33, verse 20 and 21 says, our soul waits for the Lord. That waits, we trust in completely and rely upon completely, satisfied in completely. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him, content in him, because we trust in his holy name. So the heart is that we would trust in him, in his holy name. And then also in satisfy us in the morning, in Psalm 90, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Notice that as we're satisfied and content in God, what comes out of us? What comes out of us? What happens within our soul? We have gladness in our soul. We have rejoicing and joy in our soul. We find contentment in our soul, because we're trusting in the Lord and relying upon him, and we're satisfied in him and him alone. The next instruction for our hearts is that the Word of God must guide our life. The Word of God must guide our heart to discern how God is leading us, how God's directing us. The Word is our anchor. The Scripture is our anchor. Psalm 3:1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. We must remember and know the Word of God and keep the Word of God and walk according to the Word of God, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what others say. no matter what we even feel or think. We hold on to the word of God by faith. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and it's active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God will, and the spirit of God will discern our thoughts and our intentions. It will help us be able to take those captive and to be surrendered to Christ and walking with him. When we go to that active, working, true word of God that goes and pierces our very soul and heart, so that we would know what is true and what is lie, what is right and what is wrong, how to, what would please the Lord and what would, what, how we should follow him. He will discern our hearts by his word and spirit, and we can discern those things as well as we walk with the Lord. Our next principle or instruction for our heart is that we must keep our heart in check before the Lord. Keep your heart with all vigilance, says Proverbs 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Our heart is powerful. Our desires are powerful. So often we walk according to our desires of our heart. We just do. And our minds and our, we must have it. We must keep our heart with all vigilance. We must keep our heart. We must keep it in check. We must make sure that our hearts are surrendered and are guided and governed and led by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. We have to do that moment by moment every day. And the scriptures tell us in James 4:8 to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, the scripture also tells us if anybody says he doesn't sin in 1 John, then he's a liar. We all battle with that. We still have the old man, our flesh, to contend with every moment of every day. So we need to make sure that we're keeping repentant for the Lord, and that we would be actively cleansing our hands and purifying our heart, that we are actively doing that. Yes, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, they will purify our hearts, but he gives us that a part in that sanctification or that walk with God process. And we have to make sure that we not only keep our heart in check, but we purify our heart, or that we set it back in line, in a sense, with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, that we would line it back up. That's what, that keep it in check, that we would line it back up for glorifying God and walk that way. Well, the next principle that our heart needs to know is that we do not follow or be controlled by our desires or the lust of our heart. And when I say desires here, what I mean is our fleshly desires. We can't be controlled by any fleshly desires or any lust of our heart, that we cannot do that. Let's just look at a couple of scriptures that would remind us of this. You may have already thought of this passage right when I said that we're studying the heart, because it's so clear. And Jeremiah 17:9-10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. So we have to understand that in our flesh, that we battle. Now, praise the Lord, he's given us a new heart who desires him. Remember, all 12 of these go together. But this principle reminds us and cautions us to not do what the world says, follow your heart. No, we don't follow our heart. We follow the Lord. We don't, the old saying, if it feels good, do it. No, if it's according to God's word and spirit and glorifies God, then we do it. Or, hey, you just need to do what seems right to you. That's dangerous, because often the things that just seem right or might make us feel more comfortable are not of the Lord's will. Those things are actually could be opposite of it. So we got to be careful, because our heart can be deceived by our flesh, by the world, and by our enemy Satan can twist, and even the truth he will twist as lies and deceive us. And we have to be careful. That's why we keep it in check, and we can't follow that. And that's why the in Romans 1:24, God gave them over. He's talking here in that passage of those who have forsaken him and following their own fleshly desires. It says God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because of what? They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So that's the issue we have to be really careful with, is that we never exchange the truth of God for a lie. We need to walk according to the Word of God. I've said it 10 times already. I'll say it probably 5 more, because that's the key with our heart, with our heart's passion and our desires, is that we are filled with the Spirit of God and the Word of God to guide us and move us to worship, and that we serve the Creator, never the creation. Ourselves, other people, or other pleasures that are of this world, we're to follow the Lord. And then in James 4:1-4a, just the beginning of verse 4 says this. Well, first, do not follow or be controlled by the desires of your heart. That's on this same principle. What causes quarrels? What really causes those arguments at home with your friends, around in your church, or with your Sunday school? You know, what causes quarrels? And what causes those bickering fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your own passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Wow, so much in this one passage. But according to this, or by this principle, is we need to be real careful with that lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those really root issues that would cause us to have fleshly passions that would war within us, that we would desire our own desires over God's, and even would cause us to covet, to want something our neighbor has or something God hasn't given us, and desiring that so far, so high, that it would give us a discontent spirit, or to fight and quarrel with others, or just that we'd be critical, any of those things. And God tells us, no, don't be controlled by earthly desires or fleshly desires or the lust of your heart. Make sure that you are controlled by my Spirit, and that you're walking according to my ways, and even your prayers, that they are really according to my Spirit and my Word, and not for yourself, to make yourself great, or to just build yourself up, or to get something that just you want that God doesn't desire for you to have. Well, our next principle is our heart must be guided by a transformed mind, by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Proverbs 19:2 says, desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. So to have our desires, but without the Word of God, without true knowledge of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Lord gives godly wisdom from the Scriptures. That's not good. And so we don't need to run in haste to whatever we desire. We need to make sure that we are following the Lord, and that Our heart is guided by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2, another familiar but powerful passage for our heart, says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect. So we need to make sure that we are conformed not by the world, but that we are transformed by the Word. We renew our mind, that through prayer, through the Word of God, that we daily and moment by moment renew our mind every day, and that we make sure we test those desires. We test those things. We test our heart to see, are these things really good and acceptable? Are they really perfectly lined up with the Word of God? Is this really the will of God? The will of God is found in the Word of God. And guided, and we get guidance by the Spirit of God through His Word to show us His will. Our next guiding principle is, when discerning how the Lord is leading you in your desires, surround yourself with godly counselors. The Scriptures has so much to say about this, but let's read just a few passages that remind us that we need other people around us that are pursuing Christ to keep us walking according to His will and ways. Proverbs 11, 14, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. To have abundance of people who are godly, several people, you have many in this Sunday school class, you know, that are godly counselors for our life. But they're not counselors to you and me if we don't discuss what's going on in our life with them. And we don't let them speak in and share and to listen to us and give us feedback. That's what counselors do. Do you hold your life so privately that no one else ever speaks into it? Find some safe brothers and sisters in Christ. Find someone that could give you good godly counsel in what's going on in your life and pray for you. You don't have to, anyway, find those. The Scripture says that there is safety and wisdom in counselors. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Wow, I line up with that way too many times. But a wise man listens to advice. So we need to be seeking out others to give us thoughts and advice and counsel on things going on in their life when we have a challenging decision, making sure we go to those. Now, those could be professional counselors. It could be our Christian counselors, even at our own counselor center. They're fantastic. They can also be pastors and elders in your Sunday school class or in the church that you're close to, or the elders' wives. They are wonderful counselors, or just godly friends. We need counselors in our life to discern whether we are being foolish in our decisions or whether we're really being wise. So often we really need that. And that's why the Scriptures teach us so that our hearts will be set on the Lord. We need godly counselors. Our next principle says that, God will give godly desires to His children to move them, to do the good work that God has prepared for us to do. Psalm 37, 1 through 5 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him and He will act. So God has planted us right where we are. Where we work, in our neighborhood, with our friends in this class, at our church. This is where we are in God's good providence. Therefore, we're to dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness to the Lord and delight in the Lord and follow him. And he guides us in what good work he's prepared for us to do. He will guide and direct us as we commit our way to him and trust in him. He will act. He will lead us and guide us and direct us. Colossians 2:10, and you have been filled in him who is the head of our rule and authority. So God has given us these godly desires and these things, and he does. He moves in our heart and lives to give us those. I was thinking of several thoughts and examples of those that God has done that with, and we're probably the majority of us are familiar with Ravi Zachariah. And as you think of him, you can see the whole shape kind of comes out. His spiritual gift of teaching and his spiritual gift of just being able to discern the will of the Lord and the word of the Lord. Just unbelievable. And then his skill, his abilities of just the keen mind and being able to take the scriptures and apply them to today's circumstances. Now, Ravi's gone to be with the Lord now, but he is probably the greatest apologist of our lifetime for the Christian church. Unbelievable. And he had a heart's passion to equip the saints to walk with the Lord in a world that's throwing out lies and an enemy throwing out lies and false religions and other things. And so he spent his life equipping us with unbelievable apologetic teaching because of his desire lined up with his shape and his spiritual gifts. And he was able to walk with the Lord and impact our lives. I would encourage you to read anything by him, listen to any sermons. He's an amazing apologist and Bible teacher. Well, a little bit different angle on this is when I was working with campus outreach at Troy University, I was discipling this group of five guys, and they were a little older seniors, and they were about to graduate. And this one guy, we'll call him John. That's not his name, but I'll call him John today. And John came up to me after it and said, "Hey, can we talk just a little bit after our group time?" I said, "Sure." And so everyone left, and I was hanging out. It was actually at his apartment, and we were hanging out. And he just a minute, and he said, "Hey, Benny, I got something I really need to talk to you about that's been going on that I hadn't talked to anybody." Well, that gets your attention. You never know what's coming after that. I said, "All right, bud, what's going on?" And he said, "Well, you know I'm about to graduate." I said, "Yeah, that's great." He goes, "But I'm majoring in history, and I've already applied for education to get my master's in education, and my parents have been supporting me, but I've just been wrestling with if that's what I should do or not." I said, "Okay, well, tell me what's going on." He said, "Benny, for the last couple of years, I've just been overwhelmed with the eyes." Now I'm talking these eyes right here that you look out of. "I've been overwhelmed with the eyes." He said, I've gone to the library and I've just read and studied and pulled out books about how the eyes function and what's going on with them. And I'll read articles and about the eyes, and I've checked out books, and I've got two right here, you know." And he goes, "I've just been studying and reading about the eye. I just can't, I just overwhelmed by it. And then I'm in class and I'll see somebody on the front row kind of squinting and leaning forward. And I'll be like, they need to get their eyes checked. I think there's something going on there. And I'll walk down the hallways and I'll see somebody with their glasses, and I'll be like, I wonder if those are really helping them. I wonder if they've got good eye care." He goes, this has been going on for a couple of years, and I didn't know who to tell or what to say about it. And I don't know. I just wonder if I should do something besides teach history." And I said, "Well, you know, have you ever thought about being an ophthalmologist or optometrist?" He goes, "Yes." I said, "Well, you might should think through that." And he goes, "Well, what about my parents? They've given so much to my education, and I just don't want to disappoint them." I said, "Look, John, just go home and talk to them and share what you did with me, and let them pray with you. He had good godly parents. I'd met them several times when he had gone on different summer beach projects and other times. I said, just talk to them about it. And it may be because there's not many people. In fact, I've never known anybody that had such a passion for the eye and wanting to help people with their eye care. That could be the Holy Spirit guiding you and directing you. He was really bright, smart young man, sharp, and knew he could do that. And so he goes home, talks to his parents, and sure enough, he goes, and he's an optometrist even to this day. And God just guided him through his desire and passion in a very interesting way of wanting to help people, but he also had that skill set of being able to understand and learn the mental capacity to be able to do that as well, and the financial means to be able to take and go and do that as well. But just God may do that for, and he will do that for all of us. Two examples, but he may direct you with a burning passion like John had, or Ravi even had, but you may be a little more of a very rational person. It may be that you just go, you know, I think I'm pretty good at this and I think I'd like to do it. And that's the way God may direct you and go, well, I'm, or you may go, well, I feel when I do this, I feel the smile of God. I really, when I do these things, I feel like God is pleased. Well, that may be how God directs you according to your personality, your temperament, your makeup, but he will direct you to do what he's called you to do. Well, our second point today, briefly, is God often moves us to minister to others as a result of life experiences, those of joy and those of success and those of failures and sufferings in our life. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 5 says, blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort also, or comfort too. So in our circumstances, in those things that come our way, God will often use us to comfort and strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ, to walk alongside them in difficult times or even in good times, and help them be able to hear from the Lord and to be a servant of the Lord, and to care and love and serve others in their comfort and strength, and walking with the Lord and walking with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that is definitely something God would move in your heart to do, to minister to others. And then a guiding passage for our heart, one that I'm sure that you know well, and we've already read it once in our study at least, says this in Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. We're to trust in the Lord with all our heart, and we're not to lean, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing for your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So we need to make sure that all our heart, everything we have and everything we are, all our heart, that we're trusting in God with everything. And we do not lean on our own understanding, on our own thoughts. We lean on the Word of God and Spirit of God and counsel from godly people. In all our ways, we're to acknowledge him. We're to walk with him, follow him, and he will make our way straight. He will straighten our path. He will keep us walking according to his will and ways. And then it tells us, don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't let the pride of life, you know, we can't let our pride and our own self-sufficiency get in the way, but we're to fear the Lord and walk with him and turn away from evil and follow him. And then he says, it will be healing for your flesh. He will restore our flesh. He will give us strength. He will refresh our bones. He will give us that joy and gladness in Christ, the contentment in Christ as we walk this way. Well, here's some the things that we can look and see the work of our heart and our life passions, that they can be connected to a few different areas. I'll outline four as you're thinking through this. They're going to line up with our spiritual gifts, abilities, talents, and personality and experiences, as I said. And they're going to line up with those and things that you're good at and productive at doing, things that fit your personality, things that you do where you use your spiritual gifts. Often our heart's passions will line up with those things, and will God will guide us that way. We can also our heart's passions along with our abilities and talents, but we would lean towards those things of common grace and beauty, meaning teaching or caring for children or the fine arts and performing arts, or even the medical side of ministering to people and research, a librarian, a chef, a landscape, all those things, you know, and many more, that God may lead you with your heart's passion, gifts, talents, and abilities to really contribute in this area of common grace and mercy. And that's pleasing to the Lord. Too often I think people think that those things aren't as pleasing the Lord, but yes, they are, because wherever you are, you are furthering the kingdom through the being salt and light there where you are. He may even move you to areas of mercy and justice and helps and service, such as the area of law or feeding the hungry or caring for the homeless or caring for the aging. You know, he may lead you that way. And he may even lead you into a vocational ministry area of missions, or being a pastor or a Bible professor or a support staff or any of those things. But God will guide you and direct you and use you. And these are just four different areas to think through and pray through as you're thinking through this. Well, God shapes our heart. It's time to close here. And God shapes our heart for him in his glory. Has God laid something on your heart for him to do? Are you actively doing that? Praise the Lord. Are you seeking what he's guiding you to do? Pray, follow him, and he will direct you. Make sure to instruct your heart with the word of God. Take these 12 passages, review them, and then take that worksheet that I sent you and complete it. And God will use that to either affirm those things that you are doing, or to lead you and guide you to maybe something else that he's guiding you to do. Well, it's been great again to be here with you. And as we study through God's directing of our heart to glorify him and to please him and further his kingdom, that's my prayer for you. Let me close in prayer. And then I believe that Ken and Susan Berg will lead us in music afterwards. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Father, that you are leading and guiding us, that you never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, you are taking all those things that you are doing and have done and are doing, and you're giving us your heart's passions to do them. Do help us to discern well with our brothers and sisters in Christ and by your word what your will is. And then help us to be faithful to do those things that you've guided us to do, and to walk with you. And Father, I thank you for each person here. I pray your blessings on them. Watch over them. Keep them safe in Christ, especially from this coronavirus and all things. But also, thank you for the amazing gifts and talents. When I look at the different names and faces on this Zoom, I'm just taken back by how we are so blessed, how I'm so blessed to have these as friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, we ask that you would lead us and guide us to further your kingdom right where we are, that we would plant where we're bloomed, that we would bloom where we're planted here for Christ. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.